This is the Principal's Office Podcast. I am Mr. Bettis, and I'm here with Mr. Tan. And the first question is, introduce yourself, your background, and your time in our district.
I am, as you stated, Natasha Monique Jaton, and this is my second year in Fife School District, my first year at Surprise Lake. Professional background, educational background, I grew up in Washington State. I was born in Ashdown, Arkansas. Family moved up here when I was young because of the hiring boom at Boeing. I graduated from high school in Renton from Hazen High School. Then I went to junior college for 2 years, Seattle Central Community College on Broadway. Then I transferred to the Evergreen State College in Olympia. That's where I graduated from. Then I returned after I started my master's in 2000, and then I took 20 years off to raise my younger siblings, there's three younger siblings that I have. And then I just graduated, went back in 2017 and finished my master's in 2018. I was class of 93.
93?
Oh. Yeah.
See, I was thinking you were younger than me.
Okay. I mean, it's you know. It's the visual.
It's the visual, clearly. Young. Yeah, mm-hmm. I look very old, especially when the gray starts coming out of my beard here. It happened really fast.
Right.
Okay. Let's see. When did you decide to work in education?
It kind of just happened. After graduating from high school, I qualified for this work training program with King County, with, you know, underserved youth in the county. And I was a reading tutor for 2 years, two summers. I was a reading tutor. And so I worked with elementary age children, and I had fun with that. And so I always enjoyed working with kids, but the decision to become a teacher wasn't made until 2000. And the primary reason for that was wanting to have a secure career, a career with security, and being able to provide for my younger siblings a living wage that would allow me to take care of them, and then representation. We know that in education, you know, 80% of the workforce is white, and so there are not a lot of teachers of color in the classrooms. There is a higher percentage working as in educational support, you know, as secretaries, as paras, but as classroom teachers and administrators, the numbers are not that high, and so representation matters. And so I thought that it would be my mission in life to be one of those teachers who could potentially connect with students who are not always seen or recognized in the classroom, and to be that encouragement or support to them, and let them know that I see you and hey, you can do it too. So
I think I've said this, and I think that that's so important too. I mean, that our teacher population does not match our student population, and like you say, when there is when there's the teachers don't look the same, and then when you have peripheral positions, para, and which are valuable positions, are important positions, but it's different. Mm-hmm. And if they see in that different way, like I think that's hugely important. I want to come back to when you were teaching elementary school, because you know, you went, because you said the thing that kind of got you tripped up on or excited about going on education was teaching those elementary kids.
Yes.
But then you went high school, right?
Yes.
And then
because I got older.
I got older
when when you're 18 and 19 and you have little 5-6-year-olds drawing stick figures of you saying how much they love you and, you know, asking you to help them clean their nose, you know, hey, I can do all that. But as I grew older and being the head of the household for my three younger siblings as well, it's like, I don't want to do the little babies no more. I wanted to work with the kids that were old enough to know better. I needed them to know.
You know, that's so, I'm the exact opposite, because I'm like, I did When I was a kid, I did the little children, the church in my church. I did the children's church thing, and I did that. And that's when I kind of, you know, it was my first kind of teaching experience. It was on my resume.
Okay.
It was on my resume when I applied at the high school because I had nothing else put on my resume. I was okay. Like, I was not okay with young kids at that point in my life, and I loved teaching high school. And the older I get, the softer I get, and the kids are sweet. They're so, when I went to elementary, I was like, oh, they're so wonderful.
They are
so
cute. I agree. They're so cute, but I need to work with the population that's old enough to know better.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. All right. What's one thing that students would be surprised to find out about you? I bet there's like a million. Before you even answer this, I bet there's a million things. Because every time I have a conversation, it just another layer of the onion unwraps with you, Mr.
I know that. I mean, you're right. There are a lot of things that folks would be surprised to know about me. But you know me. I am my previous principal at Columbia.
Who was much worse than me.
Mark Robinson described me as saying, you know, you kind of play your cards really close to your chest. He's like, and you know, it's like, like, okay, everybody sees you, we know you, but you kind of like don't let us know what you've been dealt until you're comfortable. And so and when I think about what I would share at Surprise Lake and what folks would be surprised to know about, I don't know how to swim.
You don't know how to swim?
No.
Oh. All right, so I was thinking some grandiose thing. Okay, well, you don't know how to swim.
Let's keep it simple.
Okay, that's simple enough.
But... in keeping with my survivalist mentality, I know how to swim enough to save my life. But that just, because I took lessons when I was growing up, but that frolicking in the pool or, you know, playing in the ocean water, no. But if something happened and I needed, I will remember, you know, airplane soldier, whatever that back float my way to safety something, I would remember.
So I'm picking up that when you're on the airplane and they're giving you those directions, you're avidly paying attention.
I am, yes. Every time, and I get frustrated that other people aren't listening.
That's me. I'm not listening.
I know. I can so
like,
see you.
Ah, well, it'll work.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Especially those folks who sit near the exit doors, I need you to pay attention.
See, and that's the ones that I try to get because you get more leg room. You know what I mean?
No, I need you to pay attention.
I'm sorry. Yeah. We should not ride on a plane together. All right. What makes a good day at school for you?
That means that I'm well rested. I like what I'm wearing. Everything was seamless on the way to school. The kids are positive and happy. There's no drama.
What is the best thing about being a teacher?
I can't lie. The best thing about being a teacher is kind of like the aftermath. Learning how you have touched some young person's life in a way that they remember you when they're young adults, you know. For example, if I'm out and about and one year, my aunt and I, we went to Red Lobster, and one of my former students was our server. And I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, blah, blah. You know, and my aunt and I are just chopping it up and having a good time eating and stuff. And so then when it was time to pay, the manager came by, and she's like, you know, Miss Jaton. And I said, yes. And then she says, I just wanted to meet you because your server, David, wanted to pay for your meal because, you know, he said you were his favorite teacher in school. And I was like, what? I'm gonna cry, you know. So when students become adults and they show appreciation or just to know that you made some type of impact on their lives where they remember you and they want to show you some type of appreciation, it's the best feeling in the world. Like, I mean, I'm a superstar. Like, yeah. You know, it's what? Just like,
you know, and I think about this. How many professions get that? How many?
Right.
I talk to friends that are outside of education, and that like when you get to be, I don't know, you get turn in the 40s, you start to go, okay, what is this? What's the point of?
Right.
I mean, I got money, I got this thing, but really, what really is? Like, there's nothing in education. There's nothing like education to know, even if like. Even I think of Mr. Doing. Mr. Doing was my high school shop teacher, and he was a nice man. But he used to like chomp on crackers all the time, right? Nom, 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 nom. And he'd go, holy buckets! Nom, 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 nom. And what's funny about that is that Mr. Doing was, he wasn't my favorite teacher, but I have these positive memories and I have this funny thing. And I say holy buckets, and my kids, my children, say holy buckets as well. Mm-hmm. And that just is the demonstrated impact. Is that Mr. Doing wasn't my favorite teacher. He wasn't amazing. Mm-hmm. But like the impact of a teacher that like that's generational, right?
Right.
That is beyond things. So when you have a kid like you had at Red Lobster, yeah. and you go like, okay, not only did I have like an impact and they remember me, but like, in a positive way, and they'll be able to tell stories about Mr. Tong.
Right, right.
Something magical about
it. It really is. It feels so good. Like, I can't even describe the feeling. I taught at Thomas Jefferson High School, which is in Federal Way. I taught there for 12 years, and it got to the point that, you know, I was by no means one of those teachers who could boast about having so many students take the IB exams and all of this. But what I could boast about was that I was the only teacher on staff that had kids constantly coming back to visit me. And not only would they come visit me, if they had babies, they wanted to bring their babies to Mr. Tan. If they, you know, they wanted to share with, you know, college graduation parties, baby showers, quinceañeras, like, you know, bridal showers. And it's just them wanting to include you in their world outside of school is an honor.
I think you're nailing it right there. And you know what? That's when you go like data informed versus data driven. Like, it's important to know how they're doing it in a test, but like, how do you capture like them bringing back to you the happy life that they're having and the impact those little pieces of information, the way that you present yourself, the way that you live your life, you're setting an example. And those kids, like, it's not about whether they are going to go to the best college or it's not whether they get a great test score. It really is, are they going to be productive, happy members of society? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's so much that you just can't quantify, you know? Mm-hmm. So, anyway. Okay. This, you know, I promised 10 minutes, but see, I should have known. I love talking to you, Mr. Tom. All right, next question. What is the last book you read?
So I assume we're referring to an academic book.
I mean, sure. Sometimes the last book I read, let's see, what am I reading? I'm reading Jocko Willink's, with, like, it's a kid's story, The Way of the Warrior Kid. I'm reading that with my daughter.
So
was technically the last one I read because I was reading it last night. And I read Rail Doll to my son last night.
Okay. I really enjoy reading. It is ever since I was a child, that's been my go-to. You know, back in the day, prior to Kindles, you know, I would go to the library and load up with 12, 13, 14, 15 books. And my younger siblings, we carried these books back to the house, and I'd finish reading all of them in the week, and I'd be back, and the librarians would go, oh, she's back. Oh,
you finished. Would get along.
Right. Yeah. She's finished those 12 books. She's back for her next load. So I really enjoy reading, and my genre of leisure, the genre that most relaxes me is, romance.
Really?
I read romance novels. During the summer, I have a goal of reading at least 100. Every summer.
Wow.
And I meet my goal. I always meet my goal. I always exceed my goal. Huh. And thanks to Kindles. Like, oh my gosh.
Okay, so I'm curious. Are you talking, like, because my grandma used to wear, you have these ones that were like the, I don't know, my dad called them smut books. I don't know what that, like,
right.
He would make fun of my grandma with those, but they were like the, I don't know. I can't think of the name. But
Harlequin Romances?
Yes, that one. And then she just looked like the couch that sat next to her chair was just totally full of these things. Is that the ones you're talking about?
So I graduated from those. I used to read those when I was 11, 12, 13.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Reading those I know, right? And then by the time I hit high school, I think I was reading Danielle Steele and like all. So that's what your dad's talking about, those books. But now, I mean, I have evolved into, you know, male order brides in the frontier. Like, I mean, I read all types of romance stories, like men who are homesteading in Oregon, and like, it's just whatever. And then, like, I've even done read some aliens coming and finding brides here on Earth.
Alien brides coming to Earth. All right.
Right, aliens with blue skin, all of this, like, okay, all of that.
This one could have qualified for the students would be surprised to find out about you. And I'm telling you, I can't, alien brides coming in, I can't see Miss Chan sitting there.
Oh,
but you know what? There you go. There's another layer of the onion there.
Yeah. I'm a huge romantic.
I could see that. Yeah. When you say a mail order bride's in a Western, or like there's an alien bride thing come down, I just. Next question. What excites you about being in education right now?
I would have to say it's the same thing since I started watching young people transition, like from who they are at the beginning of the school year, watching them grow, become more confident, more articulate, like all of just watching that transformation of students, their lives for that academic year. I think that's what's most exciting. And like, for example, last month I stopped at Columbia and saw some of my eighth graders who are now ninth graders. And, you know, they're like, oh, Mr. Todd. And I'm looking and, you know, some of the boys have grown inches and there's facial hair and they're wearing different hairstyles. And it's just fun to watch young people become who they want to be.
You know, when I was, they did the basketball, the unified basketball, okay. Unified basketball. I happened to swing up there. Those were all the kids that when I was the assistant principal at Columbia.
Oh, uh-huh.
And they're at the high school. And man, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I love seeing that too.
Yeah.
Like when I was I'll tell you what's really cool about being in middle school and like at the junior high too, is that like you have them for this time and they're really starting to become independent forms of their adult self right now. Mm-hmm. So you could just see it starting to come out. And then, like, watching them when they get to the high school and going to graduation, or see them in the same district as they go through, like, it's really, really exciting to see, like, who they're becoming.
Yeah.
Like, they're, as an adult.
Yeah. It is exciting.
Okay. One piece of advice to a student, what would you give?
I tell all of my students, or I would tell students, don't let a teacher tell you who you can't be. And the reason why I say that is because when I was in high school, my sophomore year of high school, my English teacher, Karen Jorvey, she had said to me, based off of one of the stories that I had written, she said, Natasha, your writing is phenomenal. You should go into English honors. And I was just like, oh, okay. All right, I'll do it. You know, it's a harder class, but Ms. Jarvis says I'm ready for it. And when I went to my counselor, Mrs. Sakura, she told me, she said, English honors is for college track and you're not on college track. And I said, oh, okay, well, why aren't I on college track? And she said, you know, based on the classes that you teach, or that you were taking, and she said that my GPA, all of these things, and I was just like, okay, but then I came back to her and I said, but Mrs. Jarvey said that I would be good in this class. And she's like, yeah, but it's just not for you. And I was like, okay, all right. And then, you know, I accepted that, but I wonder what would have happened to me had I had parents want to advocate for me to get into that class, or if I knew enough to advocate for myself to go into that class, and how would that have impacted my overall GPA plans after? Because that conversation my sophomore year of high school, at that moment in time, I didn't have any plans to go to college because I wasn't on the college track. And that's one of the reasons why I really liked Avid, is because it's basically for those kids who don't have those conversations at home, who don't have the resources, the parents who know what their children should be taking with these, you know, different curriculums that we have in schools. And so that's why I would tell kids, don't let any teacher tell you who you can't be. If you know who you want to be or what you want to be in life, don't allow anyone to take that dream away from you.
That's perfect advice.